Thank you, preacher. Love you. Amen. Well, it's good to be saved this morning, isn't it? I appreciate the good things of God. It had to have been good to be in church. I appreciate the preaching that we've heard already. And thankful for what we heard last night, how it helped my heart. And to thank you, preacher, for the opportunity to be able to preach. As somebody else said, I'm nervous as can be, but I'm honored to get to preach here this morning. Amen. Just remain standing. Take your Bible. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. I want to read to you just one verse from Proverbs chapter number 25. While you're finding your place there, I'll tell you just a little bit about how the Lord put this message in my heart. It seems like for the last couple years, I've been burdened about an anomaly. I think that would be the right word to use. It's a reoccurrence that seems to happen, but it's an unexpected reoccurrence. It seems like that at least this has happened in our church, and I'm sure you would probably say the same thing as well in your church, that sometimes it seems like that the young people that have everything going for them, every opportunity in the world to serve God, they're in a good home, they have parents who love the Lord, they've been in a good church, and yet it seems like those young people will end up walking away from everything they've been taught. And again, this isn't always the case, but it seems like sometimes the ones that had so much potential, and they'll turn their back on it and they'll go after something else, and then it seems like the Lord will take young people who don't have a good home. They didn't have a whole lot of things going for them. And God will save them and put them on fire for Him and use them for His glory and His honor. And that baffles me sometimes. I don't understand that. But I was preaching last year out of Romans, preaching the youth service toward the beginning of last year out of Romans chapter 3. And I was preaching about where Paul said, "What advantage then hath the Jew?" And the title of my message was, "The Disadvantage of Advantages." And I believe what Paul was trying to get across to them is that you've allowed your closeness to the things of God, what should have been an advantage for you, has become a disadvantage. You've become so familiar with the holy things. And he mentioned specifically the Word of God there in Romans chapter number 3. But as I was preaching, Brother Bailey, Pastor Bailey was in the service, and he texted me this verse that I'm going to read to you this morning. And he said, "Preacher, this verse is what you're preaching about." And I kind of noted it after the service. I noted it in my Bible. And I didn't think much about it until earlier this year. And I was preaching in another youth service. And the Lord brought this verse back to my heart. And I just want to share with you a simple thought. I think it's true. It's already been mentioned in the service that for the most part, the young people that are represented here, you have been around the things of God, you've been exposed to people who love God, and you've been exposed to old-time religion. You've been exposed to what's real, and I hope, I don't think that would be the case that every young person is in this place, but it's very possible that there are some young people who are in the place that I want to preach about this morning. So I'm going to be very quick. I realize I stand this morning where no one wants to stand. I stand between a couple hundred teenagers and bowling. So I'm going to hurry as quick as I can. We'll get out of here and eat lunch and have some fun this afternoon. Amen. Are you there? Proverbs 25. Look with me at verse number 16. Proverbs 25 and verse number 16. He said, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." In fact, while you're standing, you're very close to two other verses in the book of Proverbs that mentions honey. Let me just read them to you. Look with me at Proverbs 24. It's probably just one page back in your Bible. Proverbs 24 and verse number 13. Solomon again gives us a principle about honey. And he said this, "My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste." So in the first mention of honey in the book of Proverbs, it's encouraged to partake in. He said, honey's a good thing. He said, when you find it, eat it. But then when we come to our text verse, in verse number 16 of chapter 25, there's a warning that is attached with this good thing. In fact, he somewhat gives us another warning in verse number 27 of the same chapter. He said, it is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. So in one case, he says, if you find honey, it's a good thing, eat it. But in two other verses, he gives us a warning about a good thing in our life. And I'm going to try my best to get this across the way the Lord has put it in my heart. But I want to preach this morning on becoming sick of the things of God, or becoming sick of a good thing. And let me just preface it before we pray. Let me preface it by saying this. I am not preaching that you can have too much of God in your life. That's impossible. I'm not saying you can go to church too much. I'm not saying you can get too involved in church. You can't minister too much. You can't read your Bible too much. You can't pray. That absolutely is not what I'm saying this morning. You cannot have too much of God. Young person, get as much of God as you can possibly get in your life. But I think there is a danger of becoming so familiar with the things of God and indulging so much, and I'll explain that a little later, but indulging so much that it makes us sick. So that's what I want to preach this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would bless our time and your word this morning. I want to say thank you for what's already been done in the service, and Lord, the messages that have been preached and how it's helped my heart. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts for a few minutes from this verse and Lord, from this principle. And Lord, I'm thankful for your goodness. I'm thankful for how that you've blessed us. And Lord, every one of us this morning could look around and we can recognize the things that you've placed in our life and the people and the places that you've put us. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. But Lord, I pray specifically if there's a young person that, Lord, if they were honest with themselves and if they were honest with you, they've really just gotten sick of your goodness. They've gotten sick of what's been put into their life. And Lord, I can't imagine what a dangerous place that is to be. And Lord, I pray that this morning this message would be a warning to them. Lord, it could be there's some young people here that simply they need to get saved. They've been around it, but they've never tasted for themselves. And Lord, I pray if that's the case, you'd convict their heart. And Lord, I pray you'd remind us of what you've done for us. And we'll thank you for all that you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing this morning. Now, as we approach this verse, I want you to think with me. I understand as young people, we're not really known for our thinking, especially before 12 or 1 o'clock in the day. But I want you to get your mind in gear, and I want you to think with me about this verse and about the principle that's being given to us. Of course, you know it being in the book of Proverbs. You'll see in verse number 1 of this chapter that this is the Proverbs of Solomon, and this was the Proverbs that was recorded by the men of King Hezekiah. And we know that this is just a nugget of wisdom, a truth that has been given to us. And much like the parables that Pastor Bailey was preaching about last night, the Proverbs many times, the writer would take something natural, something common, something that we're familiar with, and he would use it to illustrate a much deeper truth. Now, of course, in the literal sense, the verse that we've read, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit." In the literal sense, we understand that that's true. That's a possibility. All of us have been there where we naturally partook of something that was sweet to the point that it made us sick. Man, you think, I can't wait to have it. You've got a craving for it. You indulge in it. And then you eat so much of it that you wish you hadn't have done it. Somebody say amen right there. I think we've all experienced that in our life in the natural sense. So it's true. Naturally, if you were to get you a jar of honey, you could indulge yourself in that honey to the place that it made you sick and you could no longer eat it. But I think it's very obvious that Solomon is not just talking about the natural sense of this principle, but it has a much deeper meaning. It's not only, it's a natural thing that's able to be applied to other areas of our life. You could apply this to different aspects. You could apply this to riches. We've seen people who have come into a substantial amount of money and they didn't know how to handle it and they ended up ruining their life because of something good that had happened to them. And so there's different instances you could apply it to. But real quickly, and just by way of introduction, I want us to look at this honey. That's where I want to start in this verse. I want you to look at the substance that's mentioned. And this morning, I want us to look at it as being a picture of the things of God. or a picture of the blessings of God in our life. Let me just mention to you a few things about it. First of all, as I look at this substance, I think about the fact that it represents to us the provision of God. And has God not been good to us in providing for us? And I really want you young people to listen to me, and I want you to think for just a minute about how good God has been to you in your life. Pastor Ledbetter already mentioned it when he opened the service, how a lot of the times, if we're not careful, we get a victim mentality, and all we want to look at is everything that's wrong in our life and everything we wish we can change. And especially if we're not careful, being young people in a good, a solid, fundamental church, we'll look at the world and we'll think, oh me, I have to live this Christian life, and I have to abide by all these rules, and I have to go to church, and we're serving God, but we're not happy about it. But I want to remind you that God has been good to us. God has placed, listen, if you're here this morning, God has placed some honey in your life. When you think about its provision, if you go to the first place that honey is mentioned in the Word of God, you'll find it's in Genesis chapter 43 and verse number 11. And in this chapter, Jacob is sending his sons back to Egypt, and they don't know that it's Joseph, but he's sending them back to Joseph for the second time. This time he's sending Benjamin, because that's what Joseph had requested. And as he sends Benjamin with the sons, he sends a list of provisions and a list of supplies. And among that list of supplies that is sent back to Joseph, the one thing that is mentioned is he said to send a little honey. In fact, if you reference the mention of honey all through the Word of God, you'll find 10 times honey is mentioned in a list of just simple, ordinary, plain provisions. And I think when we think about honey, we have to recognize how good God has been to us just in the ordinary. Has God not provided our needs? Has He not taken care of us? So many things that we take for granted in our life, from the clothes on our back to the shoes on our feet, just the simple things that we don't ever think about, but God has given to us. And I'm thankful for the provision of God in our life. Not only do I think about honey, and I think about it, it represents God's provision, Him providing for us, even in just the ordinary, something that would be overlooked. But I also think about honey, and it's also a picture of dwelling in the blessings of God. Maybe the most familiar mention of honey in the Word of God is when God referenced the promised land as being a land flowing with milk and honey. That's how He chose. You'll find the first mention of that is in Exodus chapter 3 in verse number 8, when He was telling Moses that He was going to use him to lead the nation of Israel to Canaan land. And He told Moses, He said, I'm going to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And you'll find 20 times through the Word of God that He refers to the promised land as being a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, was it literally flowing with milk and honey? No, it wasn't. It was a representation of the blessings of God that was going to be poured on them because they were living where God wanted them to be. So not only is honey a picture of God's blessings and His provision in our life, but I would say this, that honey is a great picture of having a good home. Honey is a great picture of having a good church. It's a great picture of living every single day in the blessings of God. Now, I understand that this probably doesn't apply to everybody that here. No doubt there's some young people here that you would say, preacher, I don't have a good home. I wasn't raised around the things of God. And thank God you're here this morning. And I think you could testify more than any of us how important that it is and how precious that it is to have a good home. But I'm preaching to some of you young people this morning that you have a good home. You've been raised around the things of God, and you don't realize how good God has been to you in the place that He's put you in. We don't realize how good God has been to us just in the nation that He's allowed us to be born in. Not even just the nation that we've been born in, but the area of the nation that we've been. I'm glad I'm in the South. Somebody say amen right there. And I'm telling you, not even just the area, but to be in a good family and to be in a good church. Every young person here, you're here this morning because you're a part of a local church that loves God and that loves you and that is invested in your life to bring you here. And I'm telling you, you don't understand what a blessing that is in our life. How good God has been to us to put us in the place that we are in. So it's a picture of the blessings of God. Not only this, and I got to hurry, I would also mention that when you look at honey in the Word of God, there's also a representation of enlightenment. The one place that comes to mind is in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse number 29. And you'll remember in that chapter, the Bible is dealing with Jonathan and his armor bearer. Saul was fighting against the Philistines, and Saul had earlier that day made a foolish oath that anyone that had eaten was going to be cursed. And you remember the story how that Jonathan and his armor bearer hadn't heard the words of his father. So they crossed over that ford and the Lord gave them a great victory over the Philistines. And the Bible says that as he was coming back through those woods being weary from the battle, that the woods were dropping with honey, and he reached up and he partook some of that honey and he looked at his armor. In fact, I'll read you the verse. The Bible said, "Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. I pray you how my eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey." It literally holds the idea of a revival or a refreshment. He was tired and he was weary, and this honey had brought some enlightenment. It had brought some enlightenment into his life. And one thing I'll remind you of, young people, not only has God been good to us in His provision, not only has God been good to us in the place that He has put us, but God has been good to us in the truth that we've been enlightened to. I believe this with all my heart. For the young people that are represented here, we get to hear some of the greatest preaching in the world. I mean, I'm talking about men who love God. Men who don't get up and just tell stories, and men don't just get up and appeal to your emotions and to your flesh. But I mean, we get to hear men of God stand behind a pulpit and rightly divide. We know truth. As young people that are here this morning, we know truth that some of the most theologically educated people may not even know in other places of the world. I mean, truths to us that we take for granted, things that we've been enlightened to, and God has been good to us in the truth that He has allowed us to be enlightened to. Don't take that for granted. You ever get away from here, you ever get to travel, and you get to maybe go to a mission field or somewhere, and you'll realize how good God has been to us just in the truth that we know and the preaching that we get to hear service after service. I'm thankful for that in our life. Not only that, but also I would say it's not just a picture of enlightenment, but honey is also a picture of the Word of God. You know, there are two times that the psalmist David referenced the Word of God as being honey. Let me read you these two verses. Psalm 19 and verse number 10. Here's what David said. He said, "More to be desired are they," talking about the Word of God, "more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." 119 and 103, he says again, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." I'll say, not only has God been good to us in His provision and in the place that He's put us and in the truth that we've been enlightened to, but one of the greatest blessings that we hold is the Word of God that we have. The fact that we get to every morning get to pick up the precious, holy Word of God, and we have an opportunity to hear the voice of God speak to our heart. I'm thankful for the blessings that God has put us. And listen, I want you to understand this, that every good thing, everything God has placed in your life that's from Him, it's some honey that you've been exposed to. Even some of the things as a young person that you may not necessarily like. Some of the standards that's been put in your life. Some of the rules that you've been given. I'm telling you what God has done. He's allowed you to have some honey. He's put a good thing. That's His blessing in your life. So I think we see the substance. What a great picture it is of the blessing of God. But now go back with me to our verse. Again, Proverbs 25 and verse number 16. Not only is there the substance that's mentioned, but Solomon also mentions a searching. The first phrase, it's a question. He said, "Hast thou found honey?" So here's what that tells us, that this is something that has been longed for. This is something that he was looking for. This is something that he had a desire for. He had a hunger for in his life. And man, he was searching for this honey. And now he finds himself at a place where he has more than he can even eat. And let me remind you this. I'm telling you, sometimes we get so used to God's blessings that it's hard to go back and remember when we were searching for the things God has given us. I'm telling you this morning. I look at my life and I see how good that God has been to me. And I can't help but be reminded that the things that I enjoy every day are things that at one time I longed for, things that I prayed for, the wife that God's given me, the family that God's given me, the chance to serve Him. It's things that I prayed for. And I'm telling you, it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget sometimes that the things you're enjoying, and it could be, young people, sometimes the things you're sick of this morning are things that you once longed for. You once longed to be a part of a church where you could serve God. You once longed to be able to sing in the choir. You once longed to be a part of the bus ministry and to get to go. Whatever it is, where you're at this morning is something that you searched for. And now this man finds himself at a place. Finally, at last, he's found this. Not only would I say it's something that's searched for, but you'll also notice in this text that there seems to be a scarcity of this. He seems so excited. And there's not much information that's given to us. I just picture in my mind a man who's found what he wants. And he's so excited that he can't get enough of it. He's so excited that he's just, I mean, he's enjoying these blessings. And it gives us the idea that this is something that not everyone has. And let me remind you, young people, what we get to enjoy, not everybody gets to enjoy this. The things that you're upset about and the things...